Welcome to Eltel and John's La Liga Weekly and to the Driscoll homeschool. The Wi-Fi is not good enough, the whole place smells of cabbage, and we've got an unhealthy obsession with league tables. Yes, Barca fans, I did mention league tables. It's okay, it's safe to look again. Third place, and Griezmann got an assist, and Messi played like he's the best footballer in the world ever. Marcelino sure knows how to get the best out of players. It had started so well for the new boss of Athletic Club, or as he calls them, Athletic Bilbao. Williams and Muniain on the score sheet. Shame about what happened in between. The Copa del Rey is underway because, yes, we need another football competition, although Diego Simeone seemed less than keen and Atleti were duly dumped out by Cornea. Previously resurgent Celta Vigo were hammered by Ibiza, but at least Villarreal did beat Bobby Zamora. I see Trump got suspended from Twitter. What did he do? Share a minute of highlights from Getafe versus Valladolid? That would be enough. Someone posted the goal that Messi scored against Athletic. You know the one, you and I are on the commentary for Sky, Terry, and he dribbles past three or four players, supposed to be injured, and he scores his great goal. So someone posted that, and I thought, oh, yeah, I'll retweet that. And I almost forgot.
Almost.
That would have been the end. Any number of times that you want to say COVID is a myth, any number of times that you want to say the Queen is an alien, that's fine. But share a video of Jonathan Cagliari scoring for Osasuna, and you're stuck. You're out of it. Social media priorities. Right, everybody. Well, thank you for your questions. Thank you to the Patreons for supporting us. Thank you to everybody for listening as well. Yeah. We'll take the Patreons questions first. Pete accused me of a cash for questions scandal. It's not a scandal. It's just how it works. We love you all equally, but we're going to work in the favour of the people with the money. That's how it works. Right. Okay. So let's talk about the game from last night, Terry. Messi might be the king of the match, he says, but Dembele sent shivers down every Athletic spine while he was on. We've got another question about Athletic and their roster, their teams to come. But let's have a reflection on that game, shall we? As I say, Barcelona fans come out from behind the sofa, put the cushions down. They played well. It was good, wasn't it? They were. It's what people support Barcelona for.
Yeah, there's been one or two of these this season where it's become a full storm. So I'm reluctant yet to suggest that they're back to their best for the rest of the season. But Messi in particular was the star of the game. It was the normal, it was the regulation Messi, not just the very good player like everybody else. It was the one that elevates him to something completely different. I mean, he scored two, hit the woodwork twice, had a goal disallowed for being fractionally offside, and then had an assist for Mignon's goal. It's a negative with there's 650 goals, is it now? Yeah. Whatever it is. There's a black mark next to it where that. So he's fallen behind Pelé again. I'm sure Pelé didn't knock any passes across just outside his own 18-yard box. But no, seriously, he was the absolutely brilliant. I thought Pedri was brilliant as well. It's remarkable what that young player is doing, because now he's one of the first names on the team sheet in any game. It's not a question of where they're going to play him. At the start of the season, it was, is he going to play in the front three? Is he going to be in midfield? Now it doesn't matter. He's got to play. He's that good. And it's not just his skills. It's his maturity. It's his intelligence. It's just general know-how of the game, so that he is now not forced Koeman. Koeman must be delighted that given the opportunity, he's taking it with both hands and becoming an important player already.
Some point, do they need to take him out just because he's a kid or not? Do you keep him in while he's happy?
Yep, keep him in while he's happy. They've been unfortunate with Fatty that he picked up an injury at the same age.
That's my fear.
How much do you protect them? It's a tough one. There might be times when they have midweek games as well as the weekends later on in the season where I think that's, I generally think this is down to the player and the manager.
Yeah.
And the manager needs to realise, you'll see it in training, not in a match. You'll see it in training. You know, is he feeling the pace? Speak to him, ask him how he's feeling. You hope the boys, is going to be honest and say, feeling a little bit jaded. And there's conversation between the two, which helps to make the decision. But you can recognise it if he's not as sharp as he normally is on a daily basis and stuff like that. But at the moment, I think make the most of how well he's playing. And I agree with Dembele. I think he's a fabulous footballer. I really do. I think he's got the potential still. And we know the issues. His lack of professionalism at times. He's know-how maturity that Pedri already has. Dembele hasn't. But he's getting there when you see odd games like we saw last night. But he's the balance, the change of pace. From you know, he is a remarkable footballer. And I think that the Barcelona... I've almost been forced to persevere with him because they haven't been in a position to move him on because he has never been fit enough for long enough. But I think that might work in their favour now. I agree. I think he was brilliant last night. And I think he's a player that I love watching him play. I mean, it just makes everything look so smooth and easy that he could be a real asset to Barcelona. I think in amongst it all last night, I think the only one disappointment that I improved in the second half was Griezmann.
Yeah.
Griezmann in the first half, I couldn't really work out where he was playing. He tries, his attitude is good. Even for one of the goals, he was 10 yards offside. For Messi's combination play with Pedri, he was 10 yards offside. He looked completely lost. It was, luckily, the ball didn't go to him. He was not involved in the attack, but... So I think there's still issues there. And if I'm being honest, I can't see that working its way round.
But
especially when Fatty's fit.
But the finances and the reality of FFP, etc., mean that they've got to keep pursuing. They've got to keep working at him, haven't they?
Well, yes. It's unless they take a hit on the transfer fee that they paid.
Yeah, and wages. But who around is offering? What's he on? 300-400? K a week. I mean, it's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah. And they paid over 100.
Yeah.
We saw to get half of that back.
Yeah. We saw, and now Tottenham have taken Gareth Bale, but Gareth Bale's lack of action at Tottenham will be counting against anyone else looking at Griezmann, thinking, well, hang on, what we don't want to do. Tottenham are sort of getting away with it, aren't they? But they are paying an absolute fortune to have Gareth Bale sitting on their bench instead of Real Madrid's bench.
Yeah, I'd say the only thing with Griezmann, his injury record is better than Gareth Bale's.
Yeah.
So he does. He's not the type of player that, at the moment, to have suffered niggly injuries that keep putting him out of action. And is there a possible swap on the horizon? I don't know. Mm. I think if that's the way they could trade him with another big name player that perhaps isn't working out, that might be Barcelona's better option.
Yeah. Yeah, I always used to think swaps never happened because it was a classic one for a bit of a transfer tittle-tattle, if you want to put it in the back page of a newspaper, isn't it? Such and such, he should move there and he should move there. And it almost never happened, from the number of stories, 1,000 to 1, that you saw two players being linked with a swap to it actually happening. But I think the FFP restrictions now means it's very hard. Big clubs are very, very hard to get players out, aren't they? And so you're right, you might end up with more situations like the Artur Pjanic one that none of us quite understood, unless you're some kind of real finance whiz, what was going on there. But yeah, it's one to look out for, isn't it? As the possibility that we could see swap deals becoming a thing again in the next couple of years until the FFP. The FFP will work its way through into the club's normal financial planning within a few years, but there are lots of players on very big contracts that are too big a contract and need to be worked through the FFP process because you can't run up massive unsustainable debts anymore, which is a good thing.
Definitely a good sign for Barcelona. A sign for Athletic Club started well. And it was always going to be a tough one to judge Marcelino, wasn't it?
Let me ask you Daniel's question then. Given the Athletic roster and club signing constraints, will Marcelino be as successful as he was at Valencia? So
I think it's possible.
Yeah,
I still think looking at them, there are parts of their team that do need work, and that will have to come from the coach rather than the transfer market. But I still see more than enough there in terms of talent that Marcelino can work them into a really good unit that can, perhaps when he finished, was it three?
Two fourth places and a Copa del Rey win. Yeah.
That would be tough.
Yeah, it's only one game exactly to win the Copa del Rey in this case.
That would be tough to emulate the two fourth place finishes.
Yeah.
It's not impossible for them to do it once, maybe, to push, not this season, of course. But it's certainly in the future, it's something they should be aiming for. They should be aiming for Europa League, should be aiming for the top four. We know the issues that they're looking for this target man striker that isn't available. I mean, it's been a long, long time. It's 20 years since they haven't had a big centre forward, at the least, probably longer. In my time, Ismail Ertzaiz was the original player back in 2004 that I saw play, that was 6'2", 6'3", with a young Fernando Llorente on the bench coming on and replacing the veteran when needed. And then eventually Fernando Llorente took over, and then Adderis took over from Llorente. So it's an issue, but there's nothing you can do about it. And this is one there.
Yeah,
we don't know about, and I'm sure Athletic do know, there isn't that player there. So Marcelino's going to have to be creative with... We saw him play Raúl García and Eki Williams up front last night. But playing Barcelona in the form that they were last night is not the game to judge Marcelino on. We'll see when they start playing, you know, normal games against opposition that we... could be winning. Yes.
2 minutes in, I thought it was all perfect. You know, they'd released, they'd used the pace of Williams, they got him behind, exactly. And then, you know, good finish and everything as well. But
I think Mignon's an issue as well, isn't it, where you play Mignon?
Yeah.
And it's interesting, we know Marcelino plays 4-4-2, but sometimes as a manager, when you go into a club, particularly with the restraints that Athletic Club have on them, you have to adapt. You can't just stick to your system when it's clear it's not working and it's not that you haven't got the players to play it. So there might have to be other options. I was on the Liga TV last night. We talked about him perhaps playing at a more narrow midfield four with using the fullbacks. And that means Mignon, and it was De Marcos last night, could play slightly in field. I think that might be the route he goes, but it's difficult against Barcelona because you've got Dembele and Sergino Dest on one side and you're Jordi Alba and whoever was on the left ahead of him, Dembele. It could be Griezmann, could be Messi, could be Pedri. Anyone was drifting out of this. So the wide areas last night were different to what they're going to be facing on a regular basis. So if you got Kepa, Yuri Pechichi went off injured as well. That was a bloke. You've got those two pushing on down the flanks. You can play the narrow midfield and it can be more of a VRL 4-4-2 when they play it. So he might have to do something like that because I don't see Mignon playing wide. I don't see him playing up front. I don't see there being a number 10 position for him. So I think Mignon is the key. And he needs to play him because he's the heartbeat of Athletic Club.
Right. More Barca questions, which are interesting and challenging. Now, Muyawa sent this question. He sent it before last night's game. So I don't think that, but I think if you believe what he believes, then I don't think one really top quality Messi vintage performance should change this.
No.
As a Madrid fan, he starts, I think Messi is the problem at Barcelona. He's become bigger than the club president or any of the candidates. Every candidate seems to be talking about how to please him. But his advancement in years means he doesn't know more than the president. What gives him the idea that the president hasn't explored ways to beef up the squad, much like CR7 when he was at Madrid? They sold Ozil. Messi can't be calling for the board to make a stronger squad while holding on to his high wages. Barcelona have ignored La Masia because Messi wants to win and win now. The whole fiasco that Barca were going to sign Neymar was to show Messi that the board was really trying. The club's finances are a mess because of him. Messi is a great player, but I think he doesn't need to leave, but fix his own mindset and vacate the captaincy. Even though Madrid don't have the squad to compete in the Champions League, the last thing I want to hear is Sergio Ramos criticising the club and saying Madrid doesn't have a shot. Right. So basically, I think, to boil it down, is how much of the problem at Barcelona is Messi and his wages and his general demands?
Little, if I'm being honest, in my opinion. I think Barcelona without Messi lose income anyway. I think that's pretty obvious, isn't it? That, you know, the people involved in the club and they're involved in sponsorship and stuff want to be involved with the one of the all-time great footballers of the world. The one issue I would agree with Muyawa on this one, if Messi is that desperate for Barcelona to recover and he's keen on staying and helping, then there is part of me that thinks that he's earned enough money. Yeah. He's deserved every euro he's got. He's deserved it. But there is an element of me that we see in American sports where the superstars of the teams that are very wealthy, probably earn equivalent of Messi during a career, take a cut in order for the wages to be spread amongst other players. Now, that's harder to do in football because in American sports, they trade players. There's no real transfer fees. So on top of him, if Messi was to take a drop in his wages to allow them to bring in Neymar, Barcelona would, for instance, Barcelona would still have to find £100 million to buy him. So it would be, in my opinion, quite refreshing that after all this time, that Messi gave a little bit back instead of, and maybe, and it's probably not going to happen, but it would be some sort of gesture in these troubled times that we're in, that if Messi makes up his mind to stay, perhaps a longer contract with the same money, but, you know, so the money spread over 3 years, 4 years even, to keep him at the club, that might be the equivalent of earning that, what he was earning yeah. 2 or 3 years.
And also, because
and it would show solidarity.
And his dad's his agent, so there's a possibility, because I always think it's the agents who would be horrified. An agent listening to you say that would be thinking, what are you talking about? You know, as soon as you open that can of worms, you know, the idea that you play for the loyalty to the club and all of that, then where do we end up? That would be the agent's argument against that. But as his dad is his agent, and Barca are in a uniquely troubling financial situation at the moment, I agree. I think.
Wasn't there a player at Racing Santander a few years ago that played a year for free?
There was
Pedro Menezes.
Yes. I was thinking of Echeverria at Athletic.
I thought Echeverria as well.
Yeah, because he pay either for free or for really low wages, didn't he?
Yeah.
I always think players towards the end of their, if you want to keep playing,
yes,
you've got to be realistic at the point, because otherwise you end up with loads of players. We mentioned Jack Wilshere the other day, didn't we? Where there are players who can't find a club, but presumably, I'm guessing that Jack Wilshere's agent is wanting Premier League wages for him. Whereas he's no longer a Premier League level player.
No.
You know, he'd do a really good job at a small club somewhere. He could even go to Spain, but he wouldn't come to Spain because the level of club he could play for in Spain wouldn't pay the wages.
No, it didn't.
Just be a bit less obsessed with the money would be the answer.
So I think that would be my thing. I don't blame Messi for any of the mess that's happened. That blame is firmly, and very few people disagree with Bartomeu. The blame, the transfers, the high salaries, the choice of transfers, the choice of managers. Yeah. So you can't pin that on Messi.
If Bartomeu and his team had gone about wrecking Barcelona, they couldn't have done it any better. Because if you deliberately set out to do it and, you know, lost games deliberately, you'd have been hounded out. Whereas what they managed to do is over a number of years make a series of bad decisions, mainly around finances, and have weakened the club to the point where it's going to take an awful lot to get them sorted. Can I throw another question at you? Stuart's asked a couple. Will the bromance with Pedri be enough to keep Messi at Barca? And his other one is Araujo. Is he a long-term prospect for Barca? He's played more this season with Piqué injured. Does he have what it takes to be a long-term centre-back, essentially? I know Barca have looked shaky defensively, but that's been the case the last couple of seasons, and it isn't one individual's fault. I think Stuart likes Araujo.
Yep, no, I think the signs are promising. I don't know yet, being perfectly honest. I don't think anybody can make a decision now whether he's going to be a Barcelona central defender for the next 5 years, 10 years. Yeah. What I would suggest is I would be interested to see him play in the fullback position.
All right.
This is only because I think at the very least then he could be a Nacho for Barcelona.
Right, yeah.
So that they don't have to go out and spend 20, 30, 40, 50 million on another central defender or on another fullback. It would be at the very least he's shown the ability to play and do a really good job for Barcelona in difficult circumstances. Playing for centre-back for Barcelona is like no other team in the world, because you've got no one to the side of you. There's no one. Busquets might be in front of you, but that's it. You're left alone. Even your mate who's playing alongside you might have gone forward. And you're looking around at all this space and you're thinking there's half a pitch there for Iñaki Williams to run into, which happened last night. Yeah. And it was Longley who was exposed. So I think we've seen enough now to suggest that he can play for Barcelona. How long for? At what level? Can he improve? That sort of remains to be seen. And that's the beauty of football. You can come in. We're talking about Pedri in the same manner as well. You know, we don't know what's going to be happening at the end of this season. We don't know what's going to happen next season. We don't know what's going to be happening in 3 weeks' time. We might have this same question and say, what were Barcelona thinking, playing a Real home on a regular basis? But at the moment, we can judge him and say, and I think he's looked really solid. And he's handling the situation of playing centre-back for Barcelona really well. Yeah. So I think there's an element there. The least we can say now that he will do a good job for them. How good remains to be seen. He's got to prove it. But I think the signs are promising. I mean, he's keeping Umtiti still on the bench.
Yeah.
Every game. So he must be fit.
Who would be Barca's perfect centre-back? I'm not sure that any of the... I don't think Mascherano was...
No.
And I'm not even, I mean, Puyol would be the obvious answer.
He grew into it, didn't he?
Yeah, I didn't think Puyol was the natural.
No.
I think he just...
His
strength of character was such that he made himself indispensable.
Yeah. And he was right back for years before becoming the centre-back. And at the time when he went centre-back, it was, he's not big enough. He can't play centre-back.
So you need to be reasonably tall because at some point you'll face some set pieces. You need to be fast because a lot of the time, as you say, you're going to be exposed one-on-one. But you're also, the demand is that you're able to actually play with the ball at your feet as well. Or do you not? Do you chuck that out and just say, just have one defender who's just a no-nonsense defender?
No, you have to have the ball at your feet.
Yeah.
I mean, even the goalkeeper is an issue, isn't it, with Barcelona? And luckily they've got that one of the better transfer decisions they've made in recent years was to Stegen coming in. So you need someone that can play. But you need, as you say, you need height, pace, ability on the ball. Virgil van Dijk, probably.
Yeah, that's true. The other player, this is utterly aside. I was watching Anguissa the other day play for Fulham, play really well.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, he's probably a perfect Barcelona stroke Pep Guardiola centre back.
Yes.
He has got the lot, hasn't he? But playing in midfield for Fulham, he looks exceptional. He looked really good last season in La Liga.
He was.
And I just think, actually, you know what? At the very, very top level, it could be. Because he's fast and strong and good on the ball. Yeah. And all that. Anyway, random thought.
Good scouting point.
Yeah.
Barcelona are not looking for your traditional big, tall centre-back that can edit and kick it. So they have to look. Someone there has to be looking at a different picture to what most other clubs are looking for.
See, that's the kind of question that Barca haven't really properly considered.
Abidal was a fullback, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But ended up playing at the time at centre-back as well and was fitted the bill perfectly. Yeah. So it might be a faster, taller midfield player. It might be a faster, taller fullback that can play in that position, that could play in that position. And he's never played there before. So creative thinking, top marks, John.
Thank you.
Just a great point.
Right, let's have a. Have we done? Oh no, one more.
Pedro's bromance.
Yes, absolutely.
Stuart Arsenal. I can't imagine what's going through Pedro's mind. I can remember being 17 and playing in Spurs first team, and playing and celebrating a goal and being part of the team and thinking these are my boyhood heroes. You know, it's Glenn Hoddle, it's Steve Perriman, and I'm jumping on their back when we scored a goal, or you know they're shaking hands and wishing me good luck before the game. You know, it's a fairy tale. You're in a dreamland. You're a kid, and you're looking, and you can't believe what's going on in your life. Pedro's doing that with Messi.
Yeah.
And when Messi, that goal, the pair between them. I mean, it was brilliant. The understanding of the play, the back heel from Pedro, the movement off the ball from Messi, the finish from Messi, and you just saw what I'm going to get to quickly is the celebrations. That looked like two players that are more than comfortable playing with each other. So I understand Stuart bringing up the bromance. And Messi just looks more than grateful that he's got someone who's playing on the same, almost the same level, that can assist him, not just in scoring goals, but can link with the link-up play. So I don't know. That's one for Messi to answer. From the outside, it looks like he's enjoying it. I'm sure he is. But it's one of those bigger talking points, the big picture that Messi's looking at, thinking, well, we've got Fatty, who's 18, Pedro, who's 18, probably the two best 18-year-olds in the world, I would say. I don't know, my main focus is on Spanish football. I don't know any other 18-year-olds that look as good as these two. That's a start. Dembele's still young. You know, Araujo's coming through. He looks pretty good. Serginho Dest, another player. He's playing really well. Looks to be a good signing. There's definitely potential there that, you know, with the younger ones, it needs those other ones. But I hope Messi stays at Barcelona, of course, if it enhances them, he enhances the league. And Pedri has certainly given him optimism for maybe choosing to stay in La Liga.
Yeah, and where's the French football on? We have to get another subscription, won't we, to watch Messi if he goes to play for PSG. I've never quite know how to pronounce this, IBES. Would you give Koeman the rest of the season or replace him after the elections? So presumably, if you were running for the presidency, Terry?
I'd give him to the end of the season.
Yeah.
Because I think there's been enough signs. I've been critical, mainly of his substitutions. But I think I do see a pattern emerging now that is more like a Barcelona that we've been used to in the past. And I don't think any of the presidents are running on the notion that they're going to fire him straight away. I don't think there's this clamour for, you know, he's still a Barcelona legend for what he did as a player. I don't think there's a huge clamour for supporters to sack him and make the change. I think it would be in bad taste if he did that. It would leave the club in maybe a little bit more of a mess if they're making rash decisions halfway through a season when things are slightly but surely going in the right direction. And to Koeman's credit, who would have played Araujo? We don't know. Who would have played Pedri? We don't know. Trincao's had games. You know, he's been, and Oscar Mingueza's looks good as well. Would another manager have come in and thought, well, I might only have a year here. So I'll stick with Umtiti, I'll stick with Griezmann up front, I'll stick with the, you know, Pjanic in midfield instead of Pedri and save my job and try and do as well as I can before I get the sack. So I think Koeman's been quite brave in bringing the younger ones in. I don't think they should be looking to sack him as the first thing they do when they take whoever takes over.
Good. Right. Do you want to go Celta Vigo, Real Madrid or Atletico next?
Don't mind. Let's go Real Madrid.
Real Madrid. So Alison says, thoughts on Ramos's contract situation. Whilst he is no doubt a legend for Real Madrid, I reckon a one-year contract might be the best option in case his fitness deteriorates, like, for example, Marcelo. If he does go this summer, I would love to hear your views on who might be a good replacement for similar conversation, I guess, that we just had, isn't it? As Militao is obviously not trusted by Zidane. Oh, and a official rumour says, how do you see the Ramos situation ending? Is Alaba being used as a replacement bluff from Madrid to get Ramos to lower his wages?
Well, the issue with Ramos is this happens every time his contract's up.
Yes,
years ago, I'm going to on the verge of signing for Man United.
Yeah.
And my one disappointment with Real Madrid over the years has been their legends don't end playing their last game at the Bernabeu.
Yeah.
And getting the send-off they deserve. You know, and there's been a number of them. The highest profile ones would be Casillas and Raul. You know, walking out of their careers in the manner that Xavi and Iniesta did, for instance, and Puyol and Abidal. I would like to see that from Real Madrid. So, and I actually genuinely think this time there's a possibility. I think Ramos is using his fitness and his leadership skills and his importance to his advantage. And he's almost there in Real Madrid to say, you've got no excuse. I'm the same player I was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I think he is, in my opinion. He's fit as a butcher's dog. There's not an ounce of fat on him. His leadership skills are still there, clear to see. And he's still hugely important to them. And I think he's back in his own. He trains like a madman.
Yeah.
He really does. He leads by example. I don't know what the situation is. I know that he's been offered a one-year contract. Does he want two? Does he want three? I think there's every reason for Real Madrid to at least reward him with a two-year deal as opposed to a one-year deal. And I know other clubs will.
Yeah.
Other clubs will.
Yeah, that's the
they'll match his money. And so I think he's using that. He's not daring them. I don't think on this occasion he's calling their bluff. I think he's saying, prove to me I'm not the same player I was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think he is.
He would still,
he'd
still go and play for
everyone,
all the top teams, wouldn't he? That's the truth of it, isn't it? Yeah.
As long as his wage demands were, I'm sure they're not going to be, but I'm sure they're going to be affordable. But the top teams why wouldn't they? I mean, we say it weekly, regularly on our podcast, so I do that don't judge someone just by their age. There's knackered 31-year-olds. I was finished at 31. I was knackered at 31. I was all over the place. You know, we had too many injuries. I was like tin man every day in training, and it took me 3 days to recover from a game of football. And then you see someone like, you know, Jorge Molina running around at 39, Joaquin at 39, Luka Modric has been Real Madrid's best player this year at 35. Everyone's different. And, you know, it shouldn't just be judged purely on their age. There has to be a sign of decline for Real Madrid to say, you're not the player you was, so we're only therefore giving you this. Or we're going to treat you like all the other over 30-year-olds or whatever it is. You only get a one-year deal. I don't think Ramos deserves that. I think he deserves to be judged on what he is now. And I think he still is the player he's always been. And look at the games he plays. I mean, he doesn't miss a game for Spain. He's racking up the appearances and that. I still see Ramos in 2 years' time playing at the top level. So I think, you know, is the money there from Real Madrid? Or do they want to go for a player who's on a free transfer, who's younger and significantly younger, who's a very, very good player as well? Matches Ramos in terms of ability, but doesn't match Ramos in terms of being the talisman for Real Madrid. That's what they're going to lose.
Easier said than done, that, isn't it? Filling those bills.
I mean, if I thought Ramos was fading, I would agree.
Yeah.
Let him go. Cut the, you know, don't give him, but I don't see him fading.
Okay, one more Real Madrid question from Sajid says, hi, guys. I would like you to shed some light on the curious case of Isco. Why has Zidane seemingly ostracised him, despite saying he's important and likes him in the past? I believe Isco is absolutely unstoppable at his best and deserves an extended run to thrive. What would be his best option if he were to leave? And would a loan deal give him some game time to get him back in favour?
Yeah, I don't think the loan's a possibility now. It's highly unusual. I'm not sure Real Madrid are that desperate to get him out. I'm not sure Isco's that desperate to leave. I think there's an element. I do believe there possibly will be a parting in other ways, whether it's now or in the summer. I'm not so sure. It's a weird one with Zidane because there have been a number of players in the past. I did a programme, say, for La Liga TV last night, and we were talking about Zidane's mentality and his, you know, his. And I wrote down the list of casualties of players that have fallen under his, fallen by the way, you know, by the way, by, you know, falling out of favour of him. And most of them, there's no obvious reason why. And this applies to Isco, other than the fact he might not fit into the style of play. With Isco, you could argue, still not sure what his best position is because Real Madrid don't use the number 10. And if they do use the number 10, then probably Odegaard, a player we've forgotten about, hasn't played much again, which is, he was one of those players I had on my list because he fell foul of Zidane in the past.
Yeah.
Played well at Real Sociedad, come back, looked to be in favour, and now we're not seeing anymore. I'm hoping that's not going to be the case that Odegaard has fallen out of favour.
Who else fell out of favour?
Wish I had it. It was a long list. It went to the obvious names. I mean, the names that you may associate with in the past. The obvious ones were James, and Gareth Bale.
Ceballos?
I can't think it was.
Danny Ceballos?
About him. Yeah, I forgot about him. Odriozola.
Yeah.
Odegaard was on it. I'll tweet it later.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if it was a type of player, which, as I've said before, the great irony of Zidane, the manager, is that he wouldn't have picked Zidane, the player. He, you know.
Yeah.
And I know he makes room. I know he made room for Cristiano, but then Cristiano's output was you couldn't question his output, could you? You know, it'd be ridiculous not to make. Unquestionable not to make room for Cristiano Ronaldo in your team.
Yes.
But even so you think, well, it's got a hugely talented player like Modric, but Modric is a hard worker. Benzema's a hard worker. That he only likes, that there is only room in a Zidane team. As good as you are, you've got to play for the team, you've got to work hard. There's no room for...
Yeah. I put Reguilón's on it. The names are coming back. Reguilón, Hakimi.
Yeah,
Ashraf Hakimi was in it, so they've sold Reguilón.
Yeah,
no, I don't get that. Odriozola is another one. You've got Luka Jovic and Mariano Diaz at the moment as well.
Yeah,
So it does. It appears Isco, going back to the question, is one of those, has become one of those players now.
Yeah,
and it's my issue with Isco is, where is his best position? I think number 10. We know that not many teams played that role. Certainly Real Madrid don't. And as I said, if they do, Odegaard might be ahead of him. Hazard might be ahead of him in that position. So it's mystifying. I think it goes 28, and I still think he's a fabulous footballer. But it's just, it's really important. With every player, it's important to find the right team that you're going to flourish in. With Isco, I think he also has to find the right manager.
Yeah. It's really
Ancelotti fit him in. Yeah.
Really important job for an agent, that, isn't it? Not to just find whoever's going to pay you the most money. It's actually to take the time. There's no one else going to do it. To take the time and make sure that it goes to the right place, that you're not just sticking him in there because they want him, because, or the danger is that certain time, you might have a clause in your contract that says you can leave for a certain amount of money. All right, so, we'll have him then. You really got to be careful of make sure that you steward your career in the right way.
Yes.
And there's a danger with Isco at the moment, isn't there, that he just fades away, doesn't end up at the right club. I disagree with this, but thank you for the question. Jaden Sancho's burner account. It's always good to hear from you, Jaden. Would it not be beneficial for the rest of La Liga if the former Real Madrid and Barcelona presidents, only the good ones, in brackets, that's the issue, I think, former directors and board members got involved with the smaller clubs, bringing their contacts and resources to enhance other clubs who benefit from them? And it's an interesting question to raise.
Yes. Yeah.
The obvious problem for me is I don't think either, there's only Florentino Perez. Calderon.
Yeah.
So we're almost left with the question, should Calderon get involved with another club? Because there's no one. Well, we'll see. Obviously, how the Barcelona presidential election works out, because Laporta could be involved in that. But I don't know. I think the smaller clubs, I think there's some very well-run smaller clubs in La Liga.
Definitely.
I actually think I'd rather go the other way almost sometimes. I think, well, hang on, whoever was behind Eibar's run, they should be
in
a big club, shouldn't they?
No, I agree. I think there's some really well, and the perfect example is Eibar. The transfer policy, the players that they sign, the blend of young, old, mixing up the experience levels for a relatively small budget as well. I think they're a perfectly run club, Getafe. Yeah, I think it's horses for courses, isn't it? You wouldn't want a Barcelona director or Real Madrid director or ex-president going into Rayo Vallecano and saying, right, let's chuck a fortune at it, but we haven't got a fortune. We'll find it, don't worry.
No one at Barcelona or Real Madrid has shown any nous for a long time, really. I mean, Florentino's got he's won his medals. He's done certain things for a club. He probably does sort of fit Real Madrid, arguable.
Totally. Yeah.
But
he's a huge businessman who knows how to manage money and manage projects.
I think he's
the perfect fit for Real Madrid.
A level of sporting director level that he's never trusted.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's not done the perfect job by any means.
Yeah.
But I think he's the perfect Real Madrid president. But I think you make a great point. There's never been that trust on a sporting level for someone to, he wouldn't have Monchi, for instance, would he?
No.
And Real Madrid could have got Monchi whenever they want. So the obvious reason is Florentino Perez didn't want someone to pick his players.
Yeah, he doesn't want some busybody coming to him with a list of 355 scouted players, does he? He's not interested in that, is he?
No, they've got a great youth system and they make a huge profit of the ones that they don't keep.
Yeah.
And then they go out and buy players. I don't know what the process is at Real Madrid. There's been too many people involved over the years, but I do believe it's probably Florentino Perez that has the final say.
Yeah.
So I think he's a great president for Real Madrid. Don't think he's the perfect president, but it's a good fit. But I agree. I think it's horses for courses.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want an ex-Barcelona president going in at Huesca, for instance, and saying, right, let's,
Not unless he brings his money with him. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we've never really had that in La Liga, have we? We've never had. I mean, Malaga was probably scares everybody off. The notion of a rich consortium or individual coming in with a shedload of cash I mean, Espanyol, you know, that was supposed to be one, wasn't it, briefly?
Yeah.
Racing Santander, but it turned out the whole thing was a farce. So we've never had that. I'm not sure La Liga is any the worse for it, because most of them...
No, I agree. I agree with that.
End in farce.
Yeah. Villarreal's a well-run club.
Yeah.
They don't need any Barcelona, Villarreal, Real Madrid. Sorry. <Yeah. laughs> Barcelona, Real Madrid, ex-presidents, board members that go in and run their club.
Yeah.
There's some fantastic well-run club. Sevilla's well-run club. Betis keep chopping and changing too much.
Yeah.
But they don't need any assistance from... I think it's a...
For all of the downsides of Betis in recent years, it is better than in the Lopera days And remember all the... Jesus here, we'll get onto Atleti now, shall we? The days of out-and-out criminals running Spanish football clubs. they were interesting days, but I think we're happy that they're in the past.
And in prison. Yeah. In some cases.
Right, so I promise Atleti and Celta Vigo. Let's do Celta Vigo. Actually, two questions, both from Lex Luthor. A deadly enemy of Superman, I believe. Looking at the Celta squad, and have since Burrito left, it's a shame to see them only making the most of their homegrown players now. What can we expect from them? What is their level? Is it Europa League? I looked it up, Terry, since Burrito left. So 2017, Unthue, Antonio Mohamed, Miguel Cardoso.
Just about 3 years.
Yeah. Fran Escriba, Oscar Garcia, and now Caudet. So that's six managers since 2017, which is an obvious part of the problem, isn't it? And you know, it's got a point, hasn't it? That, you know, they had a very good generation of players a few years ago. Iago Aspas is still going very strong now, but it's been a waste, hasn't it? To, you know, successive 17th place finishes is nonsense.
Yeah, and you know, there are a number of players that they're different ages now, though.
Yeah.
When you look at the players that have come through, like Bryce Mendes is younger than Aspas. Hugo Mayo is somewhat in the middle. I think there's, you know, a number of players there now that we see not so much under Caldet. I'm getting my Chados and Caldos mixed up. But I think in the long term, it is. It's a part of the world which is steeped in players that have come through this system. They don't necessarily have to be born there. They may, you know, play for the club at a young age. Denis Suarez, Nolito has gone back. It has an attraction to those players, doesn't it, to return.
Yeah.
So I think that now, you know, it's exactly the type of club that should be really using their youth system. That's far too many managers. And because of that, it's going to get complicated along the way, isn't it, with managers coming in and making their own choices, and then another manager coming in. If you're Fran Escribá further down the line, you're the fourth manager out of those six, and you're thinking, I might not have long here. I can't rely on the kids.
Yeah.
They'll get results.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the attitude that comes along with when you're constantly changing managers.
Mm.
So hopefully Caldet decides to, you know, invest in playing the younger players more.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Fran, you know, some one or two they've bought. Fran Beltran's a decent player, but he's still young. So I think there's the potential is there. People know on the podcast, they're like Celta Vigo, definitely underachieving. The problem has been the manager choices haven't always been the best.
I like a good Celta Vigo. I mean, I'm a very fair weather Celta Vigo fan, and it often rains at Celta Vigo games. Because
always.
In the Burrito days, so what we're looking at, you know, when they had two or three really good years under Burrito, didn't they? Where they were playing good football. Stylish football, attacking football.
Yes.
I don't think they're not such a, it's not such a big club that La Liga owes them anything. You know, it's not, you know, you're not talking a Valencia level of club where you think, oh, we need, you know, we must have a good Valencia in La Liga. It's, you know, and you're yearning for them. For me, if you know, it's up to Celta Vigo to be good. You know, they're it's not a giant club. It's not got a massive history. They haven't won La Liga. They haven't got this track record of success in the past or anything. So, you know, it's one of these clubs that has to fight for its place and has to fight for the affection of the wider football loving public. And
Centimini was another player.
Yeah.
There's been a comeback.
Right, so the other question from Lex. Two more questions. Lex, so with Saul and Lodi So will benching Sal and Laurie eventually prove detrimental to Atleti's title charge? In a few games, I do wonder if the team is winning despite Simeone's choices and his rifts with key players.
It's a concern of mine as well, I have to be honest. Lodi was certainly showing his career was going in the right direction. His performances were going in the right direction. All of a sudden, he's been jettisoned. It would affect his confidence. Sal being left on the bench quite regularly now is a surprise as well. And my latest worry is João Félix. You mentioned the defeat against Cornea in the Copa del Rey. He played it in that. He was one of the players to play in it. He's gone from three, four, five games ago being one of the most important players in La Liga to being on the bench and playing in the Copa del Rey with the reserves and being brought off.
Yeah.
And I my fear is Simeone could lose him as well.
Yeah.
So that is my concern with Atletico and their pursuit for the title this season is that Simeone does get into this mentality of sticking with the same players and perhaps those on the outside, when needed, won't be as fit, won't have the confidence, and won't have the belief and trust in the manager that they did have. So I think that is a slight concern that Simeone...
Right, last question.
Might be a mistake.
Yeah. From Stuart, with the window open, what signings would really make a difference to the course of the season?
I thought about this. There's too many clubs to go through, but yeah. I think if you look at some of the big clubs, what do they need? Real Madrid, I don't think they need anything at the moment. I think they're fine for this season. Perhaps one or two players might make way, which might free up a position. I look at Barcelona, they need a centre forward, but I don't think that's going to materialise. It's not going to happen. Atletico need another striker, another centre forward, I think, in the mould of Suarez.
Yeah.
So with Costa leaving, I think that's an obvious one to do. Sevilla probably need to improve the centre forward position again.
Yeah.
And try people young and Nesri, although Nesri is making progress. Betis have got four centre forwards and they only play one and they need central defenders. So I think other than that, I think it's just little tweaks from the other clubs that you're not suddenly going to find Westwood going out and splashing the cash. I mean, they brought in, you know, four players that cost €4 million in the summer.
Yeah.
And free transfers and loans. So there might be a lot of that from the teams below. Valencia, my concern is keeping the ones they've got.
Yeah.
As opposed to selling Maxi Gomez or Gaia. If I was another club and I had a few quid, I'd make an offer.
So Maxi Gomez, because you identified, you know, Atleti and Sevilla both need a good centre-forward. So
yes.
Yeah. But you're right. We want Valencia, surely. We want Valencia in the top division, and that would be genuinely a threat, wouldn't it?
My concern with Maxi Gomez is I don't think he's playing well, and he looks like he's got the ump every week.
Right, yeah.
And can you blame him? Because when he went to Valencia, same as Harry Gracia, when they went to Valencia, they believed they were joining a club going to be pushing for the Champions League.
Yeah.
And then you're finding yourself not without a regular strike partner. You're looking around the team, all your mates and best players have left. And it, Maxi Gomez fired himself up the other day because he was at fault for the Cadiz goal. Lazy play. That's what give me the ump. If you look at the replays on the halfway line with the left back runs into 30 yards of empty space. Maxi Gomez just standing there picking his nose, doesn't make any attempt. And then once he realised, he knew, the cross went in, they scored the goal with Lozano. Then he livened himself up and got himself an equaliser. So I think he's a really good player, but he looks a bit miserable at the moment. So he would be the ideal fit for Atletico.
Right.
And Sevilla.
Okay, so we will...
That's my worry.
Take that as your answer. Right. Thank you very much to everybody who sent questions in. Thank you to the Patreon. So it's patreon.com/LTEL. And that's where you can join in. And we do some Patreon-only stuff and you support us basically and keep us going, keep us podcasting. And thank you very much for everybody who joins in. Thank you very much for everyone who listens. Terry, we'll speak again soon. Enjoy your La Liga this weekend, everybody, and we'll be podcasting again next week.